What is positive thinking from Kishore Chandiramani? I was watching a YouTube video of a spiritual teacher who was talking about problems with India historically, that people become old even before they have acquired youth. They talk about nirvana, moksha, liberation from all suffering, even before they have experienced life. They are psychologically killing themselves. You can't have any expectations from them of developing nations and societies. A person who is trying to find an exit from a party, how can you expect them to be the life and soul of the party? The spiritual practices in most cultures and traditions ask you to withdraw from all your five senses and to withdraw from your thinking and judging mind. Don't fight. Dwell on human life as suffering. Quietly accept all the negatives of human existence. If that be so, what good you are to the society. You are going to be exploited and victimized. Hinduism therefore found a solution to this problem by dividing human lifespan into four distinct phases. First, Brahmacharya, that is growing and learning years from age 0 to 25 years. Second, Grihastha Ashram, that is householder from age 25 to 50. Third, Vanaprastha Ashram, that is community builder, giving back to the society what you have got from them from age 50 to 75. And Sannyas, that is renunciate from age 75 to 100. Thereby freeing people from the obsession of achieving nirvana for at least the first 50 years of their life. Hinduism also created a provision for just war, although in practice that idea has been abandoned. There is no such thing as holy war in Buddhism. And if you believe in Christian values, there is no such thing as just war in Jesus Christ's thinking as well. Buddhism has a different take on this. They think by the time you are 50, your behavior pattern is deeply entrenched and you are like an old dog who can't be taught new tricks. We need to introduce spirituality to people when they are young, during their adolescence, when their minds are impressionable. A second argument for initiating people early is that some individuals may already be ready for transcendent experience, even in their childhood or teens. It will be cruel to deny them the opportunity to grow spiritually. A counter argument to that would be that teens are not giving informed consent to their vows of a spiritual life. The Hollywood film Nun's Story brings out that conflict clearly. Audrey Hepburn, who joins a convent at a tender age, wants to be released from her vows when she struggles with the realities of a spiritual life and the trauma of her father getting killed by Nazis is the final straw that makes her leave the convent. Catching people early had the opposite effect here. However, if someone living the life of a householder and a worldly person had gone through the same set of experiences that Audrey Hepburn went through, it may have made them renounce the world and take the robes. Islam also catches people young, but not with the idea of helping them experience God or be in union with God, but to follow God's dictates about conduct in everyday life and to spread the message to the rest of the world. In Islam, God is not something that you can experience within yourself. A quick Google search tells us that positive thinking is an optimistic attitude and a practice of focusing on the good in any given situation. That does not mean you ignore reality and make light of problems. It simply means You approach the good and the bad in life with the expectation that things will go well. There are numerous books and articles on how to think positive thoughts, as mentioned below. Focus on good things. Challenging situations and obstacles are part of life. Practice gratitude. Smile more. Reframe your situation. Keep a gratitude journal. Open yourself up to humor. Picture your best possible future. Focus on your strengths. Spend time with positive people. Practice positive and affirmative self-talk. Identify your areas of negativity. Start every day on a positive note. Hold on to "you can do it" and "fight it off" approach. There is an element of American machoism or can-do spirit in this way of positive thinking. It certainly helps people, and many have vouched for its efficacy. I have somehow considered this approach superficial. It's like putting a pleasing coat of paint on the surface, and it hides the true inner self. However, the proponents of this approach will say that if you go on practicing, the effect will trickle down to the deeper layers of your being. It's like you fake it till you make it. Going by the above discussion, my approach with my clients can be considered negative, as I don't ask them to imagine the positives of life. On the contrary, I ask them to imagine the negatives that are not there in their lives, so that they become more comfortable with who they are, where they are in life, and what they have. I recently saw a couple who were falling apart and had lost intimacy in relationship. They both were in their mid-50s and had no children. I asked them to imagine how life would be in 20 or 30 years' time, when they may have numerous health conditions, their mobility will be restricted, they will not be able to earn, they won't be able to hear properly or digest food, and they will need help from someone else with their everyday needs. I also discussed the fact that the house they own and live in will be in existence for several hundred years and will outlive them. Imagine someone else living and owning that house, and that eventually it will not belong to them. Apparently, all this is not positive thinking, but it had an incredibly positive effect on their marriage and well-being. Soon after the fourth session, even before the sixth session program could end, they booked a holiday in France and were enjoying life and togetherness. I could see gratefulness in their eyes. On reflection, almost all the therapeutic techniques I use with my clients can be dubbed as a negative way of thinking by the proponents of positive thinking. These are: number one, the experience of everything being impermanent, as it encourages one to zoom out and see the bigger picture. Secondly, one is moving closer to the reality rather than remaining in denial of it, and one can deal better with it. Second is non-identification with everything that one has and one is, which may lead to expansion of consciousness. Third, equanimity, which can help us replace worldly pleasures and pain with inner bliss, joy, and peace. Fourth, non-judgmental approach. It can be a means to arrive at equanimity and the right judgment eventually. Five, not trying to eliminate the negative things from one's mind, but not to identify with them and they can see for themselves that it fades away sooner that way. Sixth, acceptance. It can be fatalistic if it is the decisive point, but not if one can see that as the starting point. The research in breast cancer field tells us that patients who can accept the diagnosis, treatment process, and the seriousness of the illness, and at the same time have fighting spirit, survive much better compared to those who only have acceptance and no fighting spirit, or just have the fighting spirit but no acceptance. Number 7, surrender to the laws of the universe and one's ultimate destiny. It's not the surrender of one's actions, but the surrender of one's obsession with the results. 8, detachment. It's the corollary to non-identification. 9, compassion that makes us associate with unfortunate, helpless, and negative people. This can have a damaging effect if one's positive spiritual force is weaker than the negative energies coming out of the person. That's why some people keep their distance from the undesirable characters, which is fully understandable. Number 10, forgiveness. Practiced by a stronger person would be more beneficial compared to a weak person who can do nothing apart from forgiving. To conclude, it appears to me that what appears to be negative thinking may have an incredibly positive effect on people's psyche and vice versa. Thank you. This audio was brought to you from the Emotions Clinic Education and Training Center, Stoke-on-Trent in England.